gift. In order to understand that, what makes a horrible gift? Have you guys ever received a horrible, questionable gift from anybody? Crazy sweater? Anybody? How about a what? You got coal? You should have been a better girl that year. We know, June. We're watching. How about I've received a lot of ugly ties in my life. Sometimes there's one that looks like fruit stripe bubble gum, but it's about 8 inches wide. I liked it. My wife didn't. That was a horrible gift that she had to look at. But, anybody else receive any terrible gifts? Toss it out. A Santa toilet seat cover. Awesome. Ho, 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 huh? Yeah. Somebody else? Come on. Come on. Dear John letter when you were gone. That wasn't a very good. Wasn't a very good one. It's like, oh, Merry Christmas. Somebody else? Come on. You've all received fruitcakes. No? Susan, next year? A fruitcake. A date fruitcake. But, what makes a perfect gift? What makes a gift the right gift? Different people have different ways of evaluating the right gift or the perfect gift for the person they're getting it for. First, I have three things here. If you're taking notes, your note page is in there. I left one side blank, so you can take plenty of notes. First, some people believe the right gift comes from the financial value associated with that gift. That is, the more valuable it is, the closer it comes, moves in to the category of being the right gift for the right person. So, you might receive a brand new Mustang Cobra, if that's your thing, and it costs you a lot, it costs a person a lot of money, so that's a perfect gift for you. You might look at it and go, really? You know, but that's what they're thinking. Second, some people believe that, my parents were like this, believe that the gift is the right gift if it meets the particular need of a recipient. So if it, something that you could use, like socks, underwear, deodorant, except for 1 year, my parents got me a clapper. You know, clap on, clap. My sister got a computer. I got a clapper. True story. Third, a gift is considered right if it is wrapped with pure motive in the heart of the giver. So if it meant something, there was a story this one time of this little girl, and she was wrapping a present. It was this big box, and she was wasting this big, expensive wrapping paper. And her dad walks in and looks at it and goes, "What are you doing?" And kind of gets after her a little bit. And anyway, the girl finished it up, put it under the tree. In the morning, the gift was for her dad. And he like, oh. But then he opened it, and it was empty. He was like, "What's the deal?" And she's like, "Dad, I filled it full of my kisses for you." That right there is a gift that is more valuable than anything. You know, you could think, for instance, the Trojan horse was a gift, wasn't it? And what was the motive behind that gift? It was filled full of soldiers that pretty much crushed that Christmas gift. So what makes the right gift? The right price? The right solution to a particular need, the right motive. Yeah, I think all three of those are pretty good categories. And at first glance, we can take those three elements and we can weave them together, and you probably have the perfect gift. If it was valuable, if it met a need, and if it had good motive. That's the perfect gift, right? Let's sign up for that and go home. But the gift of God, rightly understood, is the birth and the life of Jesus. And not only that, it's the life he offers because of his life. And if you apply these three elements, you're going to see that This is ultimately the best gift that you can ever receive. God had a plan, and His plan involved the birth of His Son. Unexpectedly. In the midst of a huge scandal. Born to an unwed teenage mother. And this boy grew up. Became perfect. Was perfect. Died for our sins on the cross. 3 days later, rose back up from the dead through the power of God and the Holy Spirit. Why? To crush death. To beat death. This gift surpasses all human expectations. It beats any ideas in any religion anywhere. Most religions have a God and they honor Him by putting Him up and adorning Him with gold and giving Him gifts and sacrificing things in front of Him. But you know what? It's just a statue. It's just a rock. It's just an idol, if you will. All said and done, our God died and our God is alive. Why is that important? It's important because of this. This gift of Jesus Christ born in a manger offers the right solution for our sin. Romans 6:23 reminds us of our condition. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." 1 John 5:11 declares to us that this eternal life is found in Jesus and Jesus alone. So the fact of the matter is, we're all sinners, and we're all good at sin. Not one of us are perfect. Not one of us deserve the gift of Jesus in the manger. But God demonstrated His own love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ came and He died for us. Church, that's why we meet. That's why we come here on Sundays. That's why, as a Christian, we get up in the morning. That's what we put our hope in. That's what we base our life on. That's what we build our relationships on. It is that promise of life offered to us in a manger. It is Jesus' birthday. But He doesn't come asking for gifts. He comes giving the gift of life. And church, today, if you don't know Jesus, listen to those words. Your life will be different because of Jesus. Don't let Christmas go by without missing what the first part of that word is. Christ. It is about the Messiah. It is about John 20:31 that the kids recited. Kids, are you still listening to me? Can you say that for me again? John 20:31. These things are so that... No, these things are written so that you may know that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in Him, you will have life. Regardless of the price tag, everything that we give is temporary. Now, I look out there at those gifts that we gave this family. There's clothes, there's blankets, there's toys. There are gifts that are expensive. There are gifts that come for a particular need. But you know what, church? We don't do that to show, hey, look at us. We're the Morningside Church of Christ. We give those gifts because Christ died for us. He came and He died for us. We give that for the purpose of showing that hope at Christmas season to someone else. The Bible reminds us that God's gift lasts forever. His gift is life eternal. There's no ending period. We may cease to exist physically on this earth, but we will go on and live forever with Him. What a hope! What a promise! And one of the, I think, the greatest Christmas verses ever is John 3:16. Can we say that together? For God loved the world that He gave His, and that man, that's all about Christmas. That's all about God giving us something that we don't deserve, that we need forever, but we're not even looking for. It's not even on our Christmas list. And it's handed to us. He didn't use a nice bow on a package. He didn't use fancy wrapping paper. He used a manger in a stable in hay. They didn't even have a blanket for him. They had to use what was lying around. That's the birth of our King. Here's a little poem I found. God did not use a silvery box or a paper green and red. God laid His Christmas gift to men within a manger bed. No silken cord was used to bind the gift sent from above. 'Twas wrapped in swaddling clothes and bound in cords of tender love. There was no evergreen to which His precious was tied. Upon a barren tree on a hill His gift was hung and died. 'Twas taken down from all the tree and laid beneath the sod. But death itself could not destroy the precious gift of God. With a mighty hand He lifted it out from the stony grave. Furthermore, to every man a living gift He gave. God has given us the best gift ever. And how are you going to respond this morning to receiving it? You know, today I wanted to keep it short, and I wanted to keep it sweet, and I wanted to keep it on point. Every day we wake up and we have opportunity in front of us. It's either to increase in our faith or just come to faith in Jesus. And I want to tell you something about Jesus. Nothing you've ever done, nothing you ever will do, or nothing that you're continuing to do right now will ever stop God from loving you. He calls you to repent, which means to turn away from your old ways and go in His way, focusing on the cross. And let me tell you something about that. You may be saying to me, Kelly, that's really hard to do. But the other part of that promise is, God knows we're not perfect. God knows we're broken. And all He says is, I'll give you the power. I'll give you the Holy Spirit to pick you up and carry you when you cannot walk. The gift is not just a baby. The gift is life from a life. Our God took the punishment for our sin, redeemed us, set us free, and we can give Him the glory for that, like the song today the kids sang, and He takes away our sin forever. We never got to deal with it anymore. What a promise. What a gift. Let's pray. Father, I just thank You, Lord, for today. I thank You for our kids and just hearing their voices, Father, and just the excitement they get that we get to share this morning, that some of us get to see every week at Wednesday Night Live, Father, that we hear the verses and we hear them singing, Father, but to stand on stage and declare Your name, Father, is an amazing thing. And Father, today as we worship and we draw close to You through those songs and through those words and through the power of Your Holy Spirit, may we have the courage to let go of our past life and accept the gift that You had. And Father, once we take that gift, allow us to rip it open and be excited about it. And live our lives based on that gift. Thank You for the opportunities that You have given us. Father, throughout our life to this point. But today, may our lives change forever, forever and ever. Father, we worship you. It's in your name I pray. Amen.